Okay, this is going to be a simple recital of some scriptures I put together. All I did was assembled some scriptures that I had remembered from memory, and then I dug up a few more just to make sure that I had gotten all the important ones that I knew from the past. And as we get to the end, you'll see there's probably a good, maybe even hundreds more that I missed, but because they're also related. And I'm just going to read through these verses, and we'll go over it a little bit afterwards. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. But ye are a chosen generation. That means we're selected out of the world. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. We're not like the multitudes. We're very unusual. We're a peculiar people. That ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil, meaning evil people. John 17:15. If you were of the world would love his own. But because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. John 15:19. And of course, if you're hanging out with the world, they're not going to hate you. It's when you walk away from them because you don't want to deal with their sin anymore. Because the Father has chosen you out of their world, therefore the world hateth you. Again, John 15:19. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16. Here's one you should all remember. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial is the devil, of course. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, your body, are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, Yahweh hath said, our Elohim hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Quote, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Elohim. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Another common one, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Ephesians 5:11. Quote, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Quote, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Titus 3:10. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Proverbs 24:1-2. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1:9-10. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16:17. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I'll say that one again. Despisers of those that are good. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:1-7. Another common one. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Psalm 119:115. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetousness, or an idolater, and idolater is everyone in America right now, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to even eat. 1 Corinthians 5:11. And finally, the last verse, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. Numbers 16:21. In addition, the word holy means set apart, or set apart from those of the world. Ecclesia means an assembly of called out ones, which is where they have inserted the word church throughout the entire New Testament in error. It should be ecclesia. But ecclesia means an assembly of called out ones, or an assembly of holy people who have separated themselves from the heathen of the world. Such as just one example above, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, which was 2 Corinthians 7. This means that we are to perfect our walk in being separate or set apart from the wicked in order that, as Habakkuk 1:13 says, that Yahweh the Father cannot even look upon evil, let alone fellowship with it. Quote, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Unquote. We too should not even look upon those who are yet evil around us. There are at least 100 additional passages that could have been included here under such indirectly worded verses like this example, but the couple dozen verses above are surely ample enough for any truly serious believer to understand that Yahweh certainly will in no way smile down upon any of us when we give aid or comfort in the form of fellowship to the enemy. Pray for them from a distance? Yes. Most certainly, but have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness yourselves, my friends. I'd like to interject another note here, which is, what do we do with children when they become unruly? Don't we often sit them in a corner and force them to sit quietly or send them to their room where they have no playmates or no one to talk to for a while? Where the purpose is to cause them to sit and reflect and think a little bit about what they've done. Parents today call that time out. Is it not possible that because the father sets everything up to look like a family issue, that maybe he's not teaching us to do the same thing with all these passages? To force the immature to take the time to think about what they've done, how they're acting, how they're treating others. If parents don't force their children to think about what they've done through either timeout, being sent to their room, or even a corporal punishment like paddling that causes them to think more deeply about what they've done. We can't paddle our friends, but we can tell them that we love our God in heaven more than we love the sins that they're still engaged in, and that we need to stay away from them because we don't want to be influenced by their evils. And we don't want to encourage them to continue to stay that way. We're even told up front by Yeshua himself that we're to expect to find ourselves separate from members of our own families if such differences persist, where they usually are so determined to remain under the character of self via the evil ways of the world, themselves then the initiators of the division, ourselves just complying with their desire to be free from our disciplines of Scripture, as in the young prodigal son, and that example, where he wished to leave the company of his righteous father. Well, how many of you have heard the old phrase, if you love something, set it free. If it comes back to you, it's yours. Folks, the Father doesn't force us to join him in the resurrection. He doesn't force us to become a part of the life with him in the hereafter. He gives us a choice. He sets us free. That's what the Savior does. He frees us from the bondage of the world and says, now, do you want to follow me or not? If the Father won't force anyone to follow you, then you have to set your friends free as well, and your loved ones, and your families. Set them completely free. If they hate you for your ties to the Father, that's because they hate the Father. If they hate you for your ways of purity, it's not you they hate, it's the ways of purity. Set them free. Quote, a man's foes shall be they of his own household, unquote. Matthew 10:36. Quote, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell ye nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Luke 12:51-53. Do any of our own family members match any of the irreconcilable patterns of people in any of the verses we've mentioned today, such as incurable idolaters, and of many additional verses not listed here, such as those who love oppression and stay thereon, themselves not a lover of truth, etc.? Well, again, from such, turn away. And again, even if these are beloved family members, my dear friends, because as I've said many times before, would Hitler's mom be considered to be considerate of other members in heaven if she had found a way to get her son into heaven without him having changed as well? Would it truly be a heaven after that? Or just an extension of the world we yet want to leave here today? We must separate ourselves from all who are not humbly working right alongside of us, wanting to perfect holiness in the fear of Yahweh, for the Father and the good of all, as we are doing. Even the Catholic inserted Apocrypha in the very early Geneva and King James says this, quote, and do his will, and separate yourselves from the heathen of the land. That's in 1 Esdras 9:9. The separation of good from evil is the ultimate goal of the Father as a most refreshing reward for us, my brethren, where we, who are responsibly working to perfect that set apartness for the cause of true love and goodwill towards all mankind, will someday have rest from our minority struggles in trying to spread such a selfless love, where not one soul will ever harm us or ever oppress us again, when the unwilling will have all been removed from Father's plan for a world that loves truth and maturity in loving others. We will then forever be among only those who also responsibly love others in return. We simply must learn to accept this separation teaching now, as a part of this learning process, because if we never apply what some of us might term, quote, tough love, unquote, and actually walk away from those we know have not truly converted to Father's full ways of compassion for others, they may never convert at all. Where then we are then, by our own selfish desires to keep them by our sides, even when we know they are not showing genuine fruits of loving Father's truth that teaches a law of love, we're then only making sure that they will never feel the emptiness and lost friendships that could otherwise lead them to a true conviction of the heart and a true conversion to then join us the right way, the Father's way, the set-apart way, where all will be set apart from the ways of evil once and for all. It is due to selfishness, yes, selfishness, that we hold on to these people. We don't want to miss them. In not wanting to miss them in this life, we're giving them the false hope that we approve of the way they stand and may ultimately miss them in the next life because they still don't understand the perfection of the Father's conversion in the first place. There are hundreds of passages in the Bible that indirectly could be added to this. The Father ultimately has the responsibility of separating the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats, on Judgment Day. I do not want the Father to continually look over at me with a convicting eye that I made it, but the person he's sending to hell is on their way to hell because I didn't stand by his instructions to cut them off and allow them to feel the emptiness of being set apart in Satan's realm. Because I was too selfish. I didn't want to let go of these people. I didn't want them to suffer through the anguish of knowing that a separation was truly what the Father's calling us to do. The Bible tells us to separate from one another. It's not your preachers telling you to do this. It's not someone who just doesn't like the other person. If you truly love someone, you'll show them how seriously you love the Father and how much you truly understand his cause of needing to separate those who obey him and his laws of love from those who don't want to hear it. When we don't let go of the people that we keep holding on to, we're showing the Father that they mean more to us than he does. We're showing the Father that they mean more to us than his laws for those who are being responsible. We're showing the Father that we're being selfish. And we were. I was. Years ago, I didn't want to kick people out of my life like that either. We just went over about 25 different verses that very clearly show that Father and his scripture tell us without question in all kinds of different circumstances, every way, shape, and form you could think of is in what we just read. There's no excuses for us to hold on to people who keep pulling Christianity in an evil direction. This is what caused America to go down the tubes in the first place. Everybody allows everybody else's sins of choice. Slow but sure, they get worse and worse and worse. That's the leaven of the Pharisees, which is a whole nother section. Whole nother section that Christ and the apostles talked about. I could have added another 30 or 40 verses on. My dear friends, I've talked about the chain, my analogy of the chain. The Father holding the hand of Yeshua coming down out of the clouds. Yeshua holding on to your preachers. The preachers holding on to his people down below. Those that are very serious are holding on tight. Under them, they're holding on to people they're trying to pull out and away from Satan. Satan's pulling all those down. One day judgment day comes and that chain has to break somewhere. The ones that won't let go of Satan are going to grab on to the people above them, because out of selfishness, they're going to want to pull them down with them. But us, out of our own selfishness, might lose our grip on the one above us by trying to hold on to them too tightly. When two are holding hands, it takes both hands to make that grip stay. If one lets go, a huge amount of that power of holding his hands together disappears, making it really hard for the last person holding on to hold on. Because it's a joint effort. I'm holding on to a lot of people below me right now in this time. But I have to let some of them go. Because I do not want the Savior above me saying, "Dwayne, you've got too much baggage there that I can't bring into the next resurrection." Those people aren't converted. They're not showing the fruits. I don't want the Savior letting go of my hand. As much as I don't want those others below me falling into the pits of hell, that's still their choice. They've had the same choice I've had, the same choice all of you have had. They could have studied harder. They could have put more heart into it. They could have calmed down a little bit better. They could have done a little bit more passionate research. Somewhere the Messiah and the Father have this plan all set up that they're going to draw a line someday on Judgment Day. Some of us are going to make it and some are not. It's not up to me or you to make those judgment calls. But it is up to us to go by what the Scriptures say. If those we love aren't going by the strict things that we're being taught in Scripture, we saw today there's lots of reasons why we have to let them go. Even if it's for their own good. Especially if it's for their own good. Because they might not pay any attention to you if you don't. Like I said, folks, we can't paddle our friends, but we can set them free so that maybe they'll wake up before the Father paddles them. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time. All glory to the Father, and praise be unto the Savior that loves us so much. Hallelujah.